weekend all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mokbil Yabro, and I'll be filling in for Sunny on this fun-filled Friday. Let's get into the September 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We start off today's show with a discussion Sunny and I had about the state of football around the world. We kicked off with arguably the toughest league in the world, the English Premier League. The top teams, top goal scorers, and African players making a big impact in the league so far. Then we switched gears to talk about Cristiano Ronaldo and the Saudi Pro League and finished off with more Messi mania in the MLS. Let's take a listen.
Let's talk Premier League football. A new season is underway on Saturday. Defending champion Manchester City travels to West Ham. Man City off to a great start, Mokbil. They've won their first four matches as they try to maybe repeat that treble success of last season. But Erling Haaland, he already has six goals for Man City. What makes this guy so special, Mokbil?
Honestly speaking, Haaland is one of those players, and we were talking about this yesterday off air. He is the type of player that I call an old school number nine. Old school number nines are guys that they know how to finish. They are here for a job, and they get the job done. Haaland is great at making sure that his weaknesses are never exposed because he never puts himself in a position to expose his weaknesses. And all he does is amplify his strengths. He knows that he's stronger than a lot of guys. He's taller. He's faster, more athletic than majority of defenders in the EPL and across Europe. Honestly, anywhere in the world, 6'4", lightning speed, you know, the kid really knows what he's doing. He's a lefty. Lefties, you know, I'm a lefty myself, so I got to say we are unique type of football player. But he can finish with his right as well. So I really love the fact that he knows what he needs to do to get the job done. And credit to Manchester City's team in developing a team around him that amplifies his strength as well. You got a guy like Kevin De Bruyne who will just make sure that the midfield is tucked in, it's safe, making runs to the wingers, and getting the ball to him in the right spots. We mentioned this earlier in the game that they just played against Fulham. They beat Fulham 5-1. They had five shots on target.
Wow. And they converted every one of them.
Every single one of them. So a lot of times, you know, people say Manchester City have this plethora of talent, but they're just getting off 15 shots a game. They are not. They are simply being super efficient with the opportunities that they get. Fulham had, I believe, four shots on target and only converted on one. Huge difference. Huge difference.
Haaland already at the top of the goal-scoring charts in the EPL. Mokbil, I spot a couple of African players in the top five. I know it's early on, but tell us about those two standout players.
We have Mbembo, who is playing for Brentford and has about four goals for Brentford. And we have Awoniyi, who has three goals as well in the four games that he's played.
Okay.
You know, being in a conversation with the Erling Haaland, regardless of if it's this early or not, it's amazing to see them coming out. You know, I'm excited to see how long they can stay in the conversation. We do know there's other Africans. Egyptian Mohamed Salah, Mo Salah, will definitely be in the conversation at the moment.
He has two goals
for Liverpool. We know that that tally is going to go up. We'll be interested to see as the games progress who will continue to stay in this conversation. I know for sure Haaland will be, if not at the top, will stay top two, top three for the entire year for the EPL moving forward.
I know we're early season, Mokbil, but taking a look at the table, which teams do you think could possibly dethrone Man City?
If I were to say potential teams, if we're looking at it, Liverpool, that we just mentioned, have a good chance if they can, you know, weather the storms Arsenal. I'm an Arsenal fan, as many of you may know. So, you know, we had
the Gunners.
The Gunners had the EPL a majority of it last year, but, you know, bottled the league towards the end. If they're able to do what they need to do, they can definitely challenge Man City. I think those two teams really have a good shot at dethroning City. They make it very difficult for you because of how efficient they are. They rarely make mistakes. So you have to play a near perfect, not only game, but a near perfect season to make sure that, you know, you can even stay within striking range of them. Last couple of seasons, they've had very difficult starts, but this season seems like it's a little different, Sonny. Seems a little different.
Yeah, they seem to be firing on all cylinders right now.
Absolutely.
The Saudi League making headlines, Muckbill, for some of the high-priced talent it's brought in. And let's give a shout-out for two players in particular, Cristiano Ronaldo and Sadio Mane from Senegal. Talk about them and their impact on the Saudi League, Muckbill.
So Cristiano Ronaldo, in 5 games, he has 6 goals. Sadio Mane, the Senegalese superstar, has 5 goals. So to see two players of that caliber putting up 11 goals combined in 5 games means that they're synced up. They're making sure that they're doing what needs to be done. Now, the only issue is they seem to be scoring during the same games. So we need to get some production from them on the games where maybe one isn't really on. At the moment, that team that they both play for, Al Nassr, is in the 6th place for the league. Al Hilal is leading. If we remember, Al Hilal was the team that was trying to give Kylian Mbappe 700 million
incredible
euros for the transfer. They were able to settle and get Neymar. And Neymar's on the team making a difference. He has yet to score for them, but he has been a part of their winning team so far. They have 4 wins and 1 draw. No loss. They are at the top of the table.
Just amazing money being thrown about. What will be the impact, do you think, Muckbill, with these high salaries, say, on the Premier League? Do you see Premier League salaries going up because of this?
I don't necessarily see the Premier League salaries going up, per se. Maybe on a club team level. We know Chelsea, I believe Chelsea alone may have spent more than all of La Liga last year in transfer fees. But with nothing to show for it, sadly. You know, I have a lot of friends and folks that I know that are Chelsea fans, and it's sad to say, you know, that they had a really bad season last year. Hopefully they'll be able to turn it around this year, but they've spent a lot of money. So the money is there in the EPL. They can spend it, but I don't think they could spend it at the clip that the Saudi League is spending it at. But now we also see from the American side, Fox recently just bought out some rights to be able to show the Saudi Pro League. So that's interesting to see that, you know, we're already, you know, buying into this league to the point where the usual casual American soccer fan now has the ability to watch the Saudi Pro League.
And speaking of casual American soccer fans, Muckbill, I think more than a few have been watching the superstar from Argentina, Lionel Messi, in his debut season with Inter Miami. So far, Muckbill, he has delivered the goods down in Florida.
Listen, man, against Nashville last week was the first time that Messi has played with this team and they have not won. They didn't lose. They had a 0-0 draw. And that was the first time that Messi has played with Inter Miami in I don't know how many games, and they did
almost,
not win.
Probably almost a dozen.
About a dozen. Close to 12. Yeah. I'd give that number. And this is an Inter Miami team that regularly hovers around the bottom of the league. So it's interesting to see what he has done. Not only him, you have Busquets and a bunch of other, you know, pickups that have made this team really a quality team in the MLS. with 10 regular season games left, and they have to make up about 8 points to make it to that playoff level for Inter Miami. I think they can get it done.
Now, I know a lot of people talking about how much Messi's getting paid in MLS. His contract is not quite on the level of Cristiano Ronaldo in Saudi Arabia. However, there are other factors at play here, Muckbill. Just this week, Apple Plus, which is streaming all the Major League Soccer games, they offered this season pass. And tell us what happened there.
Yeah, season pass, I believe within the first week, there was 110,000 subscribers to that. Unbelievable, the type of pull and strength that, you know, that Messi has. To think that 100,000 people can subscribe to that instantly, because this is not even folks that are just randomly signing up for Apple TV. This is specific to it within the Apple TV, I guess, subscription.
Okay.
There's an MLS season pass that 110,000 people signed up for once Messi joined Inter Miami.
And I'm guessing Messi might get a little portion of that?
You know, the deal from what we were hearing was not only his MLS contract with Inter Miami, but something along the lines of Apple and Adidas coming in to making this deal worth it for Messi to make his way over here. Because we can't forget, this is a World Cup winner, you know, coming off of that World Cup win. In order to incentivize him to come down here, you got to make it as appealing as Saudi was making it.
I got to tell you, Muckbill, if you had told me after Messi lifted the World Cup trophy that he was going to be playing in Major League Soccer this year, I would have said, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. I never saw that happening.
You know, for a long time, the MLS and other leagues outside of Europe were seen as retirement leagues, right? They were seen as leagues where the top players from Europe come just to have a relaxing 5 years of their life where they can still play the game, but the game was not at the level that they had expected. So to see a player that, you know, still is on the back end of his career, but still was able to hoist the World Cup trophy, for him to come to the MLS shows you that where the league is. You know, he could have really went anywhere. I think he wanted to finish off his career with Barcelona, but they just didn't have the cap to make it work. And he had no interest really in going to the Saudi Pro League, and MLS just fit right in for him.
Finally, Muckbill, I know Messi has a home in Miami. Right now, he seems very comfortable there. I've read reports that he's gone to like local grocery stores and without security guards, which is kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But yeah, he seems like he's fitting right in.
Yeah, I think he did that, and then he realized soon enough he had to tell his wife, I'm going to be in the car, because it got kind of crazy in there. All it took was 2-3 minutes of people realizing this was Messi, and it became a spectacle. So, like you mentioned, he's had a home there for some time. The culture, him being from Argentina, is relatively similar to maybe back home, a lot of Spanish-speaking folks there. So I think his family is more comfortable there than maybe, say, if he had made the move to Saudi Arabia. Culturally, it would have been a very big difference. That was my main man, Sonny Young, and I discussing all things football, keeping it on the pitch. Teams from around the world are jumping into international action. South Africa has 2 important games ahead of them. Bafana Bafana plays Namibia tomorrow and the Democratic Republic of Congo next Tuesday. Coach Hugo Broos has assembled an exciting team headlined by strikers Lyle Foster and Lebo Mothiba, who are based in Europe. Myron Nacker reports from Durban. Sporty greetings, Myron.
Sporty greetings, Muckbill. It's an important period for South Africa's national football team. They host Southern African neighbors Namibia and DR Congo in international friendlies in the coming days. For coach Hugo Broos, these fixtures form the base of their preparations ahead of their 2026 World Cup qualifiers in November and AFCON 2024, which begins in January in the Ivory Coast. The German mentor who took the job 2 years ago says he's pleased with the progression of the team.
Yeah, but we make a big progression if you compare that with 1 year ago. The mentality is totally different. And that's because of the players we have. Those players know now they're coming to the national team, and they are honored to be here. And they are hungry. They want results, but because they wanted to go to AFCON. Because they know also that for an African player, yeah, it's the most fantastic thing you can have to go to AFCON. Mm-hmm.
Bafana Bafana's busy fixture list over the next few months means Bruce and his technical team must quickly work out their best possible combinations. Seasoned defender Siyanda Qulu says their upcoming games presents the perfect opportunity to tinker with the squad.
I mean, friendly games are meant for that, for you to try and make sure that you perform at your best, make sure that you do well. I think because they are friendlies, so there's not that amount of pressure that one can take when it comes to compared to AFCON itself or maybe the World Cup qualifiers. So I think it's just for us as players to try and make sure that we perform at our best, obviously sticking to what we want to achieve as a team, which is winning, which is making sure that we continue with what we've been trying to do for the past 2 years, which is to form a very competitive team.
The presence of three red-hot strikers in the squad is a precious commodity. Lebo Motiba of Strasbourg in France, Lyle Foster of Burnley in England, and Sakelele Phasa of South African team Orlando Pirates are fighting it out to lead the line. Tulu says it's not often where the national team has this many options up front.
I think for us, that's the greatest headache you'd ever have as a player and as a coach, to have three strikers who are all capable of scoring goals and who are doing fairly well for their respectful teams, and I think I'm going to be very honest. If I answer that question, I'm very happy that we had three strikers who are very capable of scoring and who are on form at the moment. It will help the team, and it will help with the objective of us trying to win every game that we play part in.
Namibia's national team boasts a number of players who play in South Africa's domestic league. That familiarity will no doubt aid Bafana Bafana's planning, but Coach Bruce says he's not too worried about the tactics of Namibia's brave warriors.
The opponent for me is not so important. It's what we will do against those teams. There are two teams with different styles. I'm sure that certainly Namibia, neighbor, he will try to do a good performance against us. And this is maybe already a preparation when we have to play next year against Lesotho and against Zimbabwe. It will be games, the same style a little bit, a team who wants to win against South Africa. So therefore, it will be a good test also against Namibia. But we will start the game and try to play our game, mm-hmm. and not looking at Namibia.
4 months away from AFCON 2024, Bafana Bafana understand the importance of the matches that lie ahead. For their opponents, their focus is slightly different. Having not qualified for the continental showpiece, their attention solely lies on their World Cup qualifiers in 2 months' time. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Taking the action to the basketball court, the FIBA World Cup semifinals just wrapped up earlier today. Serbia beat Canada 95-86 on Friday to reach the final, and Germany beat out the U.S. 113-111 in an exciting clash between the two teams. Both the finals and the third place game are going to be held on Sunday. Lastly, we have Samson O'Malley with the African sports wrap-up. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too. Mark Bale will begin the wrap of Africa's sport highlight for this weekend with results from the AFCON 2023 qualifying games played on Thursday. Tunisia finished on the top of Group J after defeating Botswana 3-0 in raids. Tanzania held host Algeria to a goalless draw at the 19th May 1956 stadium in Annaba on Thursday night to secure qualification for the next Africa Cup of Nations. That goalless draw meant Uganda 2-0 win over Niger at the Marrakesh Stadium in Morocco on Thursday fell short of qualification for the next Africa Cup of Nations. The result was only good enough to claim third place on the Group F log, with Tanzania securing second. Ghana booked their place at the Africa Cup of Nations Cote d'Ivoire 2023 after a dramatic 2-1 comeback win over Central African Republic on Thursday. Ghana's coach Chris Hunton says the win was laced with a hint of frustration. Reflecting on the match, he expressed his belief that his team had the potential to secure a more comfortable victory in the final moments.
If I look at today, I think it shows the level of this competition, because we're up against a big, strong side. First half, yes, we could have done better first half. I think maybe in our possession, and I think probably once we got into the final third, we could have been a little bit more clinical. But sometimes you have to wait for the game to open out a little bit, to be able to use them spaces. So for me, it's always about the ending. The ending is that we won the game. I think in the end we could have won it more comfortably with more goals.
At the Estadio Nacional da Tundavala, Angola were held to a 0-0 draw by Madagascar in the Group E match. The draw saw Angola book their place in the 2023 AFCON finals as Group B runners-up behind Ghana, who also qualified for the tournament after defeating the Central African Republic 2-1. And on to boxing. Tyson Fury says defeat to Cameroonian Francis Ngannou is unthinkable heading into the battle of the baddest fight on October the 28th. British Fury takes on the former UFC heavyweight champion in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and explained the sheer scale of what he's putting on the line against Ngannou. Even though Francis Ngannou is not fighting for any title that Tyson Fury currently has, the fight organizers decided to create a new belt known as the Riyadh Champions title. Ngannou said the Battle of Riyadh will be a tough and difficult one.
One thing that I make sure, the only pressure that is on me is to give everything, to put out the work that I can do everything that is in my position, and I'm doing that, so I'm good.
And now to athletics, fresh from winning the 1,500 meters and 5,000 meters double at the World Championships in Budapest, Faith Kipyegon will turn her attention to winning a third global title this year at the World Athletics Road Running Championships, Riga 2023, on the 1st of October. The multiple world record holder has been named on Kenya's team for the championships. The 29-year-old will be contesting the road mile in the Latvian capital in what will be her first ever road race. She's joined in that event by teammate Nelly Chepchirchir, who recently set a 1,500 meters personal best of 3 minutes 56.72 seconds in Xiamen, and steeplechase world record holder Beatrice Chepkoech. Staying with athletics, Namibian athletes from 6 different sports disciplines who participated in the Commonwealth Games, Special Olympics, World Championships, Para World Championships, and African Beach Games have received their incentives, which form part of a national rewards policy. The announcement of the incentive was made by the chief administrator of the Namibia Sports Commission in Windhoek, Freddy Nguia.
It's not every gold medal that counts. It's not all silver medal that counts or the bronze medal that counts. The reward policy is very clear. It talks much about elite and it talks about number of countries in that given games. A gold medal where there are five African countries is not a gold medal equally to us as Namibians, because there must be 15 to 25 member countries to call an African championship. And also we also need to look at some of the championship that we undertake. Are they sanctioned by the Sport Commission? Because we are the only organ in this country that must sanction any international event.
And now to volleyball, where Rwanda secured their spot in the quarterfinals of the ongoing African Volleyball Championships, which is underway in Cairo, Egypt, after beating Senegal in three straight sets of 25-21, 25-16, and 25-17 on Wednesday to finish second behind Morocco in Group D. Paulo Duterzo's side was dominant throughout the game, winning the first set 25-21 before claiming the second 25-16. Morocco also reached the last eight after beating Gambia 3-0 to finish the group stages with three wins from three matches. And now to chess. The Nigerian National Chess Championship Qualifier 2023 is taking place in Lagos, Nigeria. The qualifiers, which started on Wednesday, will end this Saturday. 16 players from across Nigeria will face each other in nine rounds to pick the four places left ahead of the national championships in October. Rex Ogunaike is the tournament director.
They've been invited to play these trials, also called qualifiers. Four people will be selected from here, the top four, to join those who have pre-qualified for the finals. We looked at activity within a 9-month period, and we put in place a criteria of meeting 21 games. If you have played at least 21 rated games in the period of 12 months, you will qualify to play this.
In boxing, the African Olympic Boxing Qualifiers is set for this Saturday in Senegal. Seven male boxers, each a category winner, along with 11 female boxers across six categories, will secure their spots for the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris to represent the continent. In rugby news, the 2023 Rugby World Cup begins today, Friday, September 8th, in France. Defending champions, South Africa's Springboks, have continued their preparations ahead of Friday's start of the 2023 Rugby World Cup. The Springboks will begin their Pool B campaign against Scotland on the 10th of September. South Africa assistant coach Dion Davies says competing as the defending champions and playing against Scotland is not easy, as fans expect them to defend their title.
Scotland is a top team in this competition. We feel every game is going to be tough. Every team that's going to play in this competition is going to be a competitive game. For us, obviously, it's a big challenge. I think for Scotland it's also a big challenge. We coming here defending ourselves, and they at this point in time playing very, very good rugby. So yeah, we totally zoomed in terms of this game. We're not looking beyond that. At the end of the day, we can just build from this going into the next game.
Finally, the Kenya Basketball Federation has suspended all league matches following an order from the Sports Dispute Tribunal. A petitioner, Dennis Opio, sought and was granted a temporary injunction restraining the federation from conducting the 2023-2024 National League and other basketball-related activities. The KBF Secretary General, Ambrose Kosoi, said in a letter to its ESCO members, county branches, team managers, and their stakeholders that it was halting the league in adherence to those orders.
And that's a wrap for the September 8th edition of the show. Hope you all have a great weekend. I'm Muckville Yabaro in Washington, in for Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, leave comments, requests, or greetings. we may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076.